You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
All right, we're about a week into the season, and we're going to take a look at how all of our teams are doing. We're going to talk a little Angels baseball. I'm Allison Twitter from MLB.com here with Alden Gonzalez. Alden, before we get into what's been going on with the Angels, tell me about, I guess, what's going off the field with them. So they're playing a game of horse with a basketball team. What's going on?
Yeah, they're actually playing a game of pig, which is just three letters. It's a shorter version of horse. A few of the Angels players are here at Warriors practice right before the Warriors play their last game of the regular season, which would end up being, if they win, the record for most wins in a season. Mike Trout's here. Albert Pujols is here. Joe Smith and Cliff Pennington. Mike Trout, moments ago, beat Draymond Green, who some consider the most important player on this Warriors team, in a game of pig. He made like two straight shots from 5 feet beyond the three-point line. So Steph Curry kind of found out about that, and so he challenged them to the same game. He quickly knocked out Mike Trout and Albert Pujols. So now it's Joe Smith and Cliff Pennington against Steph Curry, who just made a half-court shot, by the way. I don't like their chances, but it seems like they're having fun.
That is hilarious. So, yeah, I mean, I guess guys that I know, like, here in Houston, like, Houston Texans will come and take batting practice at Minute Park once a year. They're all terrible at it for the most part. But I guess, like, professional athletes like to test their skills against athletes from the other sports. I guess that's kind of a thing, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Trout's jump shot is not the prettiest. Actually, Joe Smith has a really nice-looking jump shot. But Mike Trout, for some reason, just got on a roll in that first game. He made like five shots in a row, and he won. And I think somebody won this game. I'm almost certain that it was Steph Curry. But I think it was really cool for them to come out in this environment. They're all huge basketball fans, all the guys who are here. Mike Trout's a Sixers fan. He was doing a media scrum with the Warriors media. And when he said that he was a Sixers fan, everybody just let out a collective moan. Poor guy. But they gave Steph Curry an Angels jersey. Steph Curry gave Albert Pujols a ball, a signed basketball that he's going to give to his son, AJ, who's a gigantic basketball fan. So it's been really cool for them.
That is pretty awesome. Okay. Well, anything else we're going to talk about is really not going to be as interesting. But I guess we have to talk a little bit about what the Angels have been doing. So as we're recording this, there are 3-4, which is a perfectly fine way to start a season. I want to start with Jared Weaver because I've been somebody who kind of, you know, rolled her eyes at the notion that he's going to be able to put this thing together. And then he had a gritty outing. So what was – tell us the details around that.
Yeah, you know, he pitches really well at home. He's always going to be an advantage at home. It's a great ballpark for him. Fly balls don't carry very well. That kind of rock pile in left center field creates deception with his arm slot. But aside from that, a very, very encouraging start for Jared Weaver. And, you know, we talked about him last week about how defiant he was and how confident he was that he was going to continue to be an effective starting pitcher. And, you know, he showed that. His fastball topped out at 84 miles an hour, which actually is an improvement from where he was in the spring. But he located it masterfully all day. He offset it with his changeup. He threw in a 66-mile-an-hour curveball that kept guys off balance. And he just attacked hitters. I spoke to Giovanni Soto, who obviously this is his first year with the Angels, and he only caught Jared Weaver in that sort of carefree environment of spring training. And catching him in that first regular season start is when Giovanni finally saw the competitor in Jared Weaver come out. And he saw him attacking hitters. He saw him bearing down when he had base runners on. And he just saw a guy who loves to compete, and it doesn't matter how hard he's throwing. He's going to go after you with his stuff. And, you know, it was really impressive to watch. Jared Weaver's margin for error will remain really, really small. And he's usually going to do better at home. But, I mean, you got to give it up for a guy like that who just, you know, goes out there and competes no matter how he's doing, no matter how hard he's throwing. And, you know, one thing about Jared, he feels like he's going to get better. He feels like as he continues to add strength, he feels like his arm's going to be better. At least that's what he said when he exited his start. We'll see about that. But he has confidence that there's actually some upside here.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on because will he build strength and will he gain some miles an hour on his fastball? And if not, can he just make it through with 84? I kind of have my doubts about that, but, I mean, like you said, I mean, he is defiantly going to make this work, and good for him. I think it's interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a little piece on that they're shifting more than they had before. They're actually shifting more than anybody in baseball.
A lot more, yeah.
A lot more. So is that, I mean, that's obviously a new thing. I mean, they've always ranked kind of in the middle about how much they've shifted in the past. So this is obviously a difference in thinking with the new analytically minded front office, right?
Absolutely. Mike Socha continues to say that the information that they're getting now is better than what they had before. Obviously, there's no way of really knowing that unless you're in the inner circle there. But Billy Epler did install an analytics team. It's the first time they've ever had an analytics team, although Jerry Dipoto previously had a lot of analytically inclined executives. But, I mean, these guys are really freaking smart. I mean, they're not even really baseball people. I mean, the guy who's heading it, Jonathan Luman, was a propulsion engineer who worked for Johns Hopkins University in his previous job, and he's a brainiac, and, you know, and the thing about the Angels is, first of all, they're shifting more than anybody in baseball. At least they were through the first six games of their season. They're shifting left-handed hitters. They're shifting right-handed hitters. They're shifting within count. They have different defensive alignments for depending on whether their starting pitcher is right-handed or left-handed, what their tendencies are, who's on base. I mean, it's basically every hitter, they have a different alignment. And for them, I think it's extra beneficial because most nights, the vast majority of nights, they have CJ Cron at first and Johnny Giovatella at second. Those two guys bring offense, but they do have their deficiencies defensively. And if they could shrink the field, you know, that's not really going to be as pronounced as it normally would be. Sometimes you have Angelton Simmons playing on the right side. Sometimes Yunel Escobar. They're constantly shifting their defense around, and, you know, it's all about shrinking the field. I think the sample size is still too small to know whether or not it's really working. But logic says that you play these things out over really large sample sizes. And at the end of the day, after a 162-game sample size, if you stay with it and if you trust the numbers, it's going to go in your favor.
Yeah, and part of it is getting the players on board and having some experience with that here in Houston. And the Astros were kind of one of the first teams to do, like, basically shift every single play. And part of there was some defiance early, and that mainly because they just didn't explain to the players what was going on, like, what, you know, showing them the numbers, like, for every 10 that don't work, 13 do, and really showing the percentages. So I think half the battle probably is just making sure that the players are on board and get what's happening.
Absolutely, and I think especially even with their own pitchers too, and one thing that they've told their pitchers is wherever your defense is should not change how you're attacking hitters. It doesn't change your game plan. It's just the numbers, it's the percentages. And, you know, sometimes you'll get a pitcher who gives up a hit on a slowly hit ground ball against a shift, and they'll look into the dugout, like, really upset. But there are other times where they'll give up a line drive up the middle, and their second baseman just so happens to be stationed right behind second base. So, you know, and I think the tough balance with this, Allison, like you were talking about, you make a great point about kind of simplifying it for the players. You don't want your middle infielders to constantly be worrying about where they're playing guys and to have too much stuff in their head. There could be some sort of sense of kind of information overload in these situations. So that's kind of the balance that they're trying to create with this, is trusting the numbers, using the analytics to your favor, but also just letting these guys play. Angelton Simmons, for example, is a guy who's got a great feel out there. You don't want to take that away. So it's just kind of a constant balancing act, I think, that they face with this.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I do think it's hilarious how many balls are hit up the middle on the second, and like you said, the fielder is, like, basically standing right on the base. It's really uncanny, like, some of the teams that can figure out exactly where every single hitter is going to hit that ball, and that's exactly what happens. So, you know, good for them. Anyway, okay, I know you have to run, so Alvin, thank you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.